to Movie Night with your hosts, Dwayne Perkins and TK Kelly.
Hey, boys and girls, welcome to the Movie Night Podcast. I am Dwayne Perkins, joined always, as always, by my hilarious co-host, TK Kelly. Each week, we watch a movie. We have a guest. They watch the same movie. We meet here, right here.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's all there is to it. It's simple. Some might say too simple.
Yeah.
But we've stuck with it. So what can you do? Our guest this week, one of my favorite dudes. If you guys have ever listened to our podcast, you might have caught one of his several hundred appearances.
37 episodes.
He is back at it again. My buddy from Tosh.0, Ricky Carmona. What's up, dude?
It is a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
We're just slowly easing you into hosting. Not even with us. We're just going to give you
right,
the show.
Right. We're going to give you our connect. Take over the blocks for us.
Yeah. What's going on, man? How's life?
Life is good. It's good to be here. What can I say? I've been spending my time watching the new Wu-Tang show.
I haven't watched it yet.
You haven't?
No.
Oh, Dwayne. We were about to just deep dive on it. I felt it come. This is all me and Ricky talk about at work.
Nice.
The show premieres on Tuesday.
We speak once a week.
And then Wednesday morning, I am immediately like, yo, did you see last night's Wu-Tang?
Oh, that's what's
up. Did you see last night's Wu-Tang?
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
It was interesting.
Yeah. I've been enjoying the... Actually, you know, I enjoyed the documentary. Did you catch the Showtime documentary?
I did catch that. That was dope.
Great. Yes.
That was dope. Yeah.
So the Hulu show is just kind of like a dramatized, enhanced version of the show.
I just love how they're making money off of it again and again. Like,
yes,
I just love. It's like the franchise. It's like Star Wars or Disney on Ice.
It's absolutely. It's a trademark. I mean, it's been a trademark. Like once they figured out that W,
the story of that is crazy too.
Yeah. But like now, it is just kind of like, all right, they're doing. You know, they're going off into TV shows. You know, I'm sure at some point there will be a movie of some kind,
dude.
You know, there's literature.
Right. We're gonna
for my
see
girlfriend
so much
for Christmas.
More.
I bought her RZA's like what's it called, like the Art of like Tao book. You know, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, and I feel like because their core fan group is now hitting like hyper nostalgia age,
mm-hmm.
where we want all that stuff from back then.
Mm-hmm.
And I think other rappers from that time have seen this renaissance too in the last 10 years or so, where they kind of went away for a while. Like you didn't hear anything about Tribe for a long time.
Oh, for sure.
And then all of a sudden people were like, oh, remember how great they were? And everybody went back to them and started listening again. And now they're all relevant and touring. And like, I feel like you're going to see so much of this. Like now Nas is going to start doing the same shit.
They
can have a TV show about their life. My life was interesting. Let's fucking do it.
Yeah.
I think everybody's going to do it. It's
like
gonna be great.
With Wu-Tang, it's like their fans are so hardcore that they're going to make sure their kids, they have that kind of fan base where like a father might be like, I don't really like rap, but these guys you should check out.
Yeah.
They might teach it. I mean, they probably already do. It might be a class taught at Harvard or something.
I've always felt like Wu-Tang is like my favorite uncles that I've never had.
Yeah, you know?
I just want to like sit at the barbecue with them, dude, and listen to their stories.
You know what's so
and
crazy?
Hear what they have to say.
What's so crazy about that? Me and my buddy, we've said, not on the uncle tip, but we've said so many times, like, if we were billionaires, we would just give Ghostface Killah like his 10 million, just hang with us for like a week. You don't do anything but just be who you are.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're just gonna go places, we're gonna do shit. You can wear the robe, you can wear the gold eagle, just be you. You know what I mean? Like he's that guy, that kind of personality.
Yeah. Absolutely. You
know? There's so many of them in that group too. It's so like the fact that they're all insane lyricists is one thing, but like so many of them are so interesting too individually.
Oh, yeah.
That like they had solo careers that turned into so much more than like you'd think one of fucking 36 dudes would get. You know, like usually a group like that, one guy's gonna hit.
Yeah.
And everybody else is gonna get left in the dust. And
it's crazy.
It's like half of them are fucking huge stars.
Yeah.
And the other half are like Everybody who loves rap loves them.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
RZA got two books. You God got one book. You
know, yeah. Like, that's fair.
like that's more than fair. All these guys just have like these creative outlets that, you know, like they're trying to either like figure out a way to like get the thing that they have, it what it is out that's not, you know, in a rap kind of format,
right?
Or like, you know, people are just kind of like clamoring for, well, tell me about this dude now. Now that I know about the RZA, now that I know right. about, you know, I feel like people know about the RZA and people know about Method Man and people know about Ghostface. But there's like five other members in the group.
Oh my God.
Whose shit is just as hot.
I remember like doing a deep dive on YouTube. And YouTube, I'm going to write a self-help book one day. And it's just going to be one page. It's going to be like you know, like not a self-help, but I guess a productivity, you know, how to be more productive. And yeah, it's just going to be get off YouTube. That's just going to be chapter one, get off YouTube.
Shut it down.
You're welcome. Yeah. But there's a guy named Papa Wu, right? Some... like a yep. mentor mm-hmm. to those guys, yep. and they rap about him. And I remember just doing a deep dive on him, just like Papa Wu. Like it sounds like what is
dude,
Papa
whole,
Smurf? Like
this a
is
whole a, fucking,
this is amazing. You know,
it's this world that like
yeah.
revolves around the rap, but there's like more to it. There's like this philosophy to it. Uh-huh. It's so interesting, and it feels like because you know most guys, for ego reasons, wouldn't be able to come together like that and say, I can't do it on my own. I'm going to do it with all these other dudes. But they all were like, they were like-minded enough to right. come together and make it feel like fucking King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
exactly. everybody exactly. for this one cause. It's just, right. it's and, crazy interesting.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm sorry, what
did
you say?
No, I was going to say, and it's like what you're saying of like people now our ages, where it's like, hey, we want to get like these, you know, this nostalgia aspect story of it out, where the majority of it that is taking place comes from a comic book standpoint, as far as yeah. like, all right, we're gonna get all these superhero movies out. Oh yeah, hey, you know what? I grew up loving Star Wars. Let's get as many Star Wars movies as we can get out.
Right.
But now there's like this new like little niche that's coming out that's like, all of us motherfuckers who enjoyed all those things. I love my Star Wars and I love all my nerdy shit, but I also listen to Wu-Tang just as much. I mean, and you know, Straight Outta Compton showed that like, hey, if you put this on film and it's done right, it can make money.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
Like now
yeah,
I feel
a
like we're
huge audience.
Yes.
Us.
Yes.
We weren't adults before. There wasn't, I think so much of the industry for such a long time equated rap with like this, there was a ceiling for the audience, mm-hmm. but now the audience has grown up and it's so much broader than it used to be, especially now that, you know, digital music's out there. Everybody has access to everything.
Yeah.
It's a mainstream audience at this point.
Yeah. I think they weren't aware of how mainstream the audience is. Mm-hmm. They really felt like, oh no, this, you know, motherfuckers who like NWA had to be just from LA, or they had to be like these crazy ass hip hop heads.
Right.
And it's like, no. Like I listen to that shit right, you know, I listen to NWA and I listen to fucking 10,000 Maniacs and I listen to Four Non Blondes.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
I listen to Pearl Jam.
Yeah, yeah.
And right, I listen right. to Soundgarden. Like that shit was all in my wheelhouse, you know? So give me all of that.
I listen to all of that. And the crazy thing is that I think most rappers suffer from like letting someone else carve their image. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. even, you know, Raheem suffered from that, Raekwon. And then like they had him out there like looking silly and then he had to regroup.
Dude, yeah, you got to watch the show. You get to see lots of that.
It's great.
It's really great. It's
done very well.
You definitely, I mean, there's big hiccups. But it's the first season, and it's a lot. Like, it's a lot of fucking characters.
Right. Well, and I think one of the first people to understand the power of rap
yeah.
and the power of image and how the two can be used together was Rudy Ray Moore,
bam,
a.k.a. Dolemite.
Oh, my man.
Dwayne Perkins.
Come on, ladies and gentlemen.
He gets us there. That is the movie we are talking about this week. Dolomite Is My Name from 2019. It's on Netflix right now, starring Eddie Murphy, Keegan-Michael Key, Mike Epps, Craig Robinson, Divine Joy Randolph, Titus Burgess, and Wesley fucking Snipes.
And Mike Epps? You not get Mike Epps?
Mike Epps is in there.
Okay.
Come on, pay attention, pay attention. Right, right. Or I might have skipped him. I don't know. There's a lot of fucking people in here. There's so many names. I was paranoid about, you know, pronouncing Divine wrong. I was like, is it Devine? I don't know if she's Jewish.
It's Devine.
It's Devine. Devine. I knew it. What'd you guys think of this movie?
I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. Like, you know, I was in the break room over at my show, Funny You Should Ask, where every question has a funny answer. and one of the guys I was talking to said something, and when I thought about it, I had to agree with him. Like, I really liked the movie, but I do think, and I don't know who else could have done it, and I didn't want anyone else to do it. I'm happy it was Eddie Murphy, but Eddie Murphy's a little too funny. He's naturally too funny, I think, to capture, like, fully what Rudy Ray Moore was.
He had that charisma that maybe Rudy
right,
lacked.
Right, right. Because I think Rudy was funny in spite of not having charisma. Yes. It was almost like he just fucking really powered point. Through it and made it funny.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
I'm going to do it. Yeah, right. And that's a great point that I honestly didn't really think about it, because the whole time I'm just like, oh, Eddie Murphy's fucking great again. Right, this is amazing. Right. He's super funny and like super heartfelt when he needed to be. But yeah, that's an interesting point, because the reason that Rudy Ray Moore wasn't bigger younger was because he didn't necessarily have it.
Right.
And Eddie Murphy fucking has it and can't turn it off.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I came at it more from I'm just so happy to be seeing Eddie do something great again.
Right, yeah. Right.
And like, I still haven't seen the original Dolomite. My familiarity with the original Dolomite is any kind of like samples that I hear.
Yeah,
he's used
like,
in rap.
Yeah, yeah,
so
exactly.
Much.
Like
yeah.
he's on the Chronic. He's on several NWA albums. Like that's my familiarity with Dolomite.
He did a song with Big Daddy Kane, didn't he?
You're telling me, dog? Did he really?
Yeah, yeah.
That's amazing. Like when I first heard about this movie, I was just like, Eddie's back. Yeah. Here we go. You know, give me more of that fucking gold Eddie. That's all I want. All I want is Eddie always being the best that he can be and like delivering how I grew up watching him. Yeah.
And this is the character for them. Like, this character fits that. 100%. Like you said, you knew before you saw it that he was gonna be fucking great, because him as this character is like, there's no way that's not fucking ideal for him. It's perfect.
Immediately. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
But you know, this weird is for me to how the testament of how good a movie is like, especially when you watch it at home, right? I remember when I first saw Die Hard, I didn't see it in the theaters. I was watching it with my mom, and we it was a VHS tape, and we put it in. It was like, it was something silly. It was like 2 or 3 in the morning, and we shouldn't have even been up. And we're like probably thinking, oh, we're going to fall asleep. And it just
powered
the edge of your seat.
We locked the fuck in.
That's amazing.
And I think we ended up breaking night. Like, we watched Die Hard. We just kicked it. And same thing with this movie. I started watching it. It was like 2 in the morning. And I was like, it was over the weekend. I was like, let me just watch like the first half hour, get that out of the way, sleep, end up watching the whole thing. And then like 45 minutes of the Dolomite movie.
I almost went immediately to that. And I was like, no, you have to be up in like 5 hours to not do this right now. Like, that was tough though. Because it did. It made you, it's that kind of movie where it immediately gets you so interested in the subject matter.
Right.
That you're like, oh man, I don't really know shit about this guy except mm-hmm. other references to him mm-hmm. and this character. Like, I don't know if this is going to shock you guys,
right.
But as a young suburban white,
Yeah, yeah.
It was not super exposed to dolomite, you know? Like,
I think the first time.
Yes, right?
I think the first time I heard of him, like, it was like a Mad TV sketch or something like that.
Really?
Or maybe like Living Color or somebody. But it was so like immediately like, this is so fucking great. It's so great that this guy existed and got famous at the age that he did. That is always fascinating to me.
Yeah, and it's... And but because I watch it though, I you know, it's almost like the scene, for instance, where the guy, which is hilarious, the guy who's like the white guy who's like, I just play like the mean whitey, like he's the bad white man.
He was so
and everything.
Proud. He's like, well, I've been a rapist.
Divine's reactions to each of his like descriptions of what he does are fucking brilliant.
Classic.
Yeah, I was the rapist and whatever, and she's like, oh, okay.
Okay, now I see you. Yeah. I see you. Okay, but like that scene, which is a great scene because he kills it. And Rudy Ray Moore, Eddie Murphy playing Rudy Ray Moore, such a bad actor, such a newbie, a neophyte that he stops the scene and he goes,
funny.
That was really good.
Oh my God.
Yes.
That fucking killed me.
And it was really good, but I actually watched a movie or a lot of it. And when you see the actual actor do it, it's like, oh, it wasn't that powerful as the actor.
Yeah.
So like
these are all better actors, likely.
It's like
the original actors in Dolomite. Right?
It's like a really good dancer trying to like fake like they're a bad dancer. It's not easy. It's not easy to bad dance. Like you have to really be a bad dancer.
100%, yo.
And so
100%.
I still enjoyed it. I'll watch it again. It was really, you know, super fun.
Yeah.
This movie.
It is. I mean, the whole way through, it's just like it's not like this is some brand new story. This is an underdog story of a bunch of friends fucking picking themselves up by their bootstraps and saying, we can do this. It's like, we've seen it before, but it's first of all, knowing that it was real. That was huge to me because it was like, I don't know that this, that kind of success on something so like guerrilla style could exist today. But like, back then, man, it is like, if you were just willing to risk every single dime you had and you try to make a movie, it could work out.
Right.
It probably won't, but it could. And it was so just engaging for that reason. And then on top of it, like, there's just a million funny fucking people in it. So it was just even when it got a little serious and a little slow, there was always a quick joke or just a quick moment that was funny enough to kind of turn it up.
Again. Right.
Yeah. I think there's something really to... There's something to say about the fact that it's like, you know, Eddie is, you know, we're all here to watch Eddie like kill this role, but then the rest of the cast that like fills in all of the supporting roles, who maybe not now at this point in their career, but at one point might reach a point where like you can carry your own movie.
Right.
I mean, like everybody who's in this movie. You can just kind of tell, like, they're here for a reason. And I feel like part of that reason is, like, wanting to work with Eddie. And part of that reason is just, like, I mean, Chris Rock is in this movie for 5 minutes.
Right.
You know? Craig Robinson, Titus Burgess, like, all these...
T.I. is in it for a minute.
Like, all Snoop. These... Snoop. All these performers who are in it, where it's just, like... Everybody knows exactly what it is that they're supposed to do, but they are so good at what they do that you could like kind of watch them go do their own thing in another movie.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, that
speaks volumes because, you know, you're
Wesley
in a scene
Snipes.
With,
we haven't said Wesley Snipes.
Yeah, he was dope. You're in a scene with Eddie Murphy. You were seeing with Eddie Murphy, you might lose your shit, right?
Oh, 100%.
And everyone really brings it. And,
yes.
And when I watched the movie, Wesley nailed that guy. Like that whole thing, his choices, it was kind of based on a guy, but it was like amazing. And he's so funny. You're like,
so
yes.
Over the top.
You're like, were you always this funny? Wesley Snipes? Like,
Wesley Snipes, man. Major League.
Yeah.
Yes. Willie Mays Hayes. Yo, yeah, Willie Mays Hayes.
He
Trumaine in Wildcats. Shout out to right. Oh, you haven't seen Wildcats?
I don't know.
Goldie Hawn, right?
Goldie Hawn is the football. He's fucking amazing in that.
I forgot that movie existed. There were so many. I think I was confusing that with the other lady in football movie.
Blindside? No.
What's the Kathy Ireland one?
A Necessary Roughness.
Yes. That one. Jesus Christ. Wesley is dope as fuck.
Wesley's amazing.
And he's another guy who's like, not as infrequently as Eddie Murphy, but Wesley had some problems with the government.
Oh, for sure.
He was off the radar for a while. Pops up, I'm always like, yes, he's so good. Wesley Snipes is here.
Because it's like, he had his government problems, and then he just seemed like everything had to be kung fu or whatever his martial arts thing was.
He's fucking doing his thing, man.
Just,
I love it.
Just come back. Like, we get it. We get it. You can fight. Just come back. Come back, please.
I watched Dolomite some point last week, and then on Saturday I rewatched Blade again.
Oh, nice!
And I was just like, they made it's a trilogy. They made Blade 2. Blade 2 is considered the better one, and Blade 3 is kind of a hot mess. But I feel like that's just one of those like. Man, it's mind-boggling to me, outside of the tax thing and like the problems that Wesley had, that his career wasn't what it should have been. Still a solid career, still great,
right.
But like, what he does and what he brings when he like can fucking turn on the charisma, just like Eddie, when he can turn on the
Simon
charisma
Phoenix,
and
man.
Be a fucking movie star. Like it's amazing, dude. It's amazing, yo.
There is no role on this like spectrum that dude can't play.
Yeah,
you've seen him play like over the top, insane, crazy, like Simon Phoenix, and then you've seen him fucking play like straight down the middle action star, like anybody could play this part, but I'm gonna fucking play it 100 times better than that. And then he's fucking funny. He's dramatic. Like
he's dramatic. I think people sleep on One Night Stand. That's a great fucking dramatic Wesley performance. Jungle Fever is a great fucking dramatic Wesley performance. When we think of New Jack City, I think we still get kind of caught up in the throwing it into the. Menace to society and boys in the hood, and it still kind of like belongs it definitely belongs in that world, but like he was still giving a fucking amazing performance. Sugar Hill, that's another great performance that he gives in a movie that is like Wesley Snipes is a fucking tremendous actor.
Have you ever seen Wesley Snipes in a movie and thought like, nah, he didn't do a good job? You've never thought.
No, that. I'm always disappointed in the actual movie. Yeah. Right, I'm never disappointed in Wesley.
Exactly.
I'm always like, Murder at 1600, you should have been better. Better.
Exactly. You never walked.
Drop Zone, do better. Yeah,
Drop Zone couldn't do better if it tried.
Money Train, do better.
Money Train, Spike Jennifer Lopez him. Got naked. How dare you?
You think Spike misused them?
I think Spike didn't do a great job. No. In that Chi-Town movie, Chi-Raq.
Oh, I see. I liked him in that because, again,
I thought he was good. But when I sat down and then I turned to my friend, I was like, wait, are they going to be speaking in poetry?
Yes, I hear you.
Thing rhyming? And I had already had my popcorn. I was like,
I've committed. You could just walk out with your popcorn. Right? Dwayne's fucking driving.
You're
down
allowed to take
Hollywood
that popcorn
Boulevard,
home,
fucking right? Eating a tub of popcorn. Like, man, that guy must have hated a movie.
And listen, and it was a $3 movie. So if you don't pass my $3 movie test, love Spike. I didn't. That movie wasn't my cup of tea. And it had titties in it too. Like, had everything you'd want.
Dolomite spoken rhyme.
Yeah. I know, but
some people can pull it off.
Yeah.
I feel like this movie too, one of my favorite things about it is that it had just enough emotion to like, you felt for this guy. You felt for the kind of person who comes out to LA. Everybody has this big dream in their head and everybody achieves different levels of that. But there's so many people who just don't get there and don't approach there, you know, or maybe absolutely. Did 10 years ago, 15 years ago. It was very believable. You felt him as like, absolutely. Man, why won't you play this record? And Snoop is like, because that is fucking lame. Absolutely. Like, that was a long time
ago. I love how he was like, I was about to blow on a music tip. And then James Brown came out.
James Brown. Shaking his ass.
James Brown came shaking his ass.
Yeah.
Like, you should have been like, you know what? Then James Brown came out, and I realized I was in the wrong field.
Yeah,
like,
that's where you should be. Such like that. You feel for this dude because he believes in himself so much. Even at this age. Yeah. And there's something so endearing about that. So it gives it this heart, but it also, like, it never gets too bogged down in emotion.
No,
doesn't feel like they tried to dramatize it too much. It was at the end of the day, this guy's trying to be an actor.
Exactly.
It's a little bit of
a movie star.
They didn't go full Joker with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It didn't take itself too seriously, so it didn't feel like, I don't care necessarily if it veered off true life events. You know, it just felt like, well, this is a fun guy to base this movie around.
And I think it was pretty accurate. And what I like is
amazing.
And that's the thing. I don't mind when you have exposition in movies. I get that, you know, you're supposed to show and not tell. But sometimes it's like, you know what? If you can't find a nice way to show, just tell.
Yeah.
Let's just fucking get it over with, right? So I love that aspect, because this movie is really about his rise and it's about him making that movie.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's just sort of like
quick.
So they just sort of go, you know, hey, he was from fucking Arkansas. It was shitty. His pop said there was gonna be anything.
He just
says that to someone. Let's get all that out the way.
Yeah.
And I love that line, because how they kind of cover their tracks is the other actor says, we all had shitty childhoods.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which I think is a nice way of, you know, not harping on that. And then sort of like, okay, let's get off that. But that is, if you're wondering, that's my motivation.
No.
And then he just, you know. It's
definitely like a really good pace to it, because I remember noticing right when he started to kill it on stage as Dolemite for the first time, I was like, oh, this is happening much sooner than I thought it would. I thought I was going to have to see him fucking work at the record store for like 20 more minutes. Right. Like, I give a fuck. Like, that's a really good point, because they just get it to where it needs to go.
Exactly.
And then the movie is fun and enjoyable.
Exactly.
Like, it's not. I assumed when he got there that fast, then I'm immediately like, oh, no, I'm going to have to watch him get addicted to drugs
downfall.
For 45
right.
minutes.
Right. Right.
Or, like, watch him roll around on the kitchen floor
it's
and shit.
That.
It just doesn't.
It's not that. It's more like Bowfinger.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. It reminds me of, it is that, like, we can do this ourselves. You know, it's that same Bowfinger story, really, of kind of people who are being a little bit delusional in Hollywood.
Right.
Except in this case, like, he just, and that's the most beautiful thing, is that, like, this guy should not have hit. He never should have. Right? But, like, it's just fucking some bum came
in. I'm telling you.
And was, like, rapping, essentially.
Here's the thing.
And he was like, I can make that way bigger. I can make a big character.
Yeah, punch it
and
up.
And it fucking worked. And it's crazy.
What I like about it is sort of like, it's a few things. One, it's like, like, if you listen to reggae, right? I'm not an expert in reggae on it, by any stretch, but you hear these.
I am. I got you.
It's tell the truth.
It's like, and the guys who created rap, I think at least one of them was Jamaican, but it's like reggae doubles down on rap. Like, rap is like, we're trying to dig into crates and sample everything and find things you never heard of and just use a snippet. You can't even tell I got it from that song. And reggae is like, you know, we got six bass lines, and then it's going to be one of the six bass lines. It was going to build on top of that. And I love that aspect of it, because it's like, I don't need to reinvent the wheel. Like, this is just funny. It's been funny forever, and no one's doing anything with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And if I deliver it correctly, people will love it.
Absolutely. And I think, I don't know if it'll catch on, but I can picture, like, this, because it's a Netflix movie, I would love, like, this is a movie you could show. They call me Dolemite. Mm-hmm. Or my name is Dolemite, whatever the title is. Show that, and then show the real movie. Because
definitely.
Like, that's a thing that should be happening yesterday, because you go to the real movie, and just the way they incorporate the karate, get into it as much, but you hear the dialogue when he gets out of jail. Literally, the girl who he, like, I don't know if that's part of the show, that was great, too, that he... if that happened in real life, he took her from, like, just literally just
just
come on a road with me. Yeah. And maybe because no one had done that for him, you know. But so he gets out of jail, and that character, she's like, Dolomite, Willie Green is taking over the streets. And then she's so like, she's like, you know, while you were in there, we sent the girls. I'm sorry. Literally, she just says, while you were in jail, we sent the girls to karate school.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like,
and he's just what? Like, he's like, okay, bad, that's cool. Like,
so I've got an army.
Word. That's what I was hoping would happen. Solid. Good work.
It's good thinking ahead. Right. I might have wanted that.
You
down
didn't
the
get
road.
To go ahead for me, but I like it. Like, you took initiative.
Yeah. Shows you got gumption.
And it's just the most ridiculous. Ridiculous thing.
Yes, I wanted so badly to watch it because just like you saw those little snippets at the end too where you saw that like his karate was exactly that bad. And I'm like, oh my God, I gotta fucking watch this. Oh. And then it totally makes sense why it was great because it was just the right kind of like commitment to a thing and not necessarily caring if it's gonna be the best or if you are going to be the best. It's just like, well, we're just gonna do it. Mm-hmm. We're going to do it as best as we can and try to make it funny. Mm-hmm. And it comes together because it is funny. And they showed the sex scene was so
that's
fucking
amazing.
Great. Yeah. And that, I guess that was from like, not his first movie. It was in like the second one or something.
Right.
But it's just such a, that's like a very particular kind of filmmaking that like you can appreciate for how ridiculous it is and shoestring budget it is.
Yeah.
And it's not like The Room. You're not laughing at it.
Because they're self-aware.
It's bad. Exactly.
They know what they're doing.
They know exactly. And it's like his act where it's, he's doing it in a way that you're like, you know, it's bad, but that's why it's good.
Right. Exactly.
You know, it's such a weird sweet spot. And it's so, and Eddie Murphy is so fucking great at embodying like this dude who's just like, oh no, we don't know about any of that shit. We don't know about lights or cameras or what. We're just gonna, you could do that and we'll just do this.
And that's and great too. And it's like, oh, it's like we don't like just the gumption to go to someone and say, we're gonna make a movie. Oh, by the way, we know nothing about movies.
Yeah. And like not apologetic,
right?
But also not like, not very self-aware. He's just like, no, we don't know any of that. Sorry. Like,
it's a different kind of like ego as far as like, hey, yeah, like when you're here, I want you to bring the thing that it is that you do.
Right.
And we're all on board with that. Like that was like the scene where like, yeah, like the young like white kids show up. And
yeah, the UCLA film students.
Yeah. And he's just like, hey, I don't know anything about all that like film technology.
How about you climb the roof
and exactly.
plug in from next door?
You know, that scene against Wesley Snipes' character, who is trying to come in there and be like, yo, I'm used to this and I've worked with John Cassavetes. Yeah. And Eddie, you know, and Eddie, you know, as Dolomite is like, yo, I'll move like a box that needs to be moved. Yeah.
Right.
He lived there. He put up every penny.
It's amazing.
Every penny he had that he only just made.
You just have to cheer for that guy.
You got to. Even if it's like ill-advised, it's like, well.
Oh yeah, I mean you.
I've been poor. I've been broke. So I can just go back to being broke.
Yeah. What's the downside that you just keep living the life that you used to?
I'll just go back to what I was doing.
Yeah,
and know that like I had my moment, or I'll go back to just fucking touring. Like he still could have. He's still done the road.
Yep.
But I loved too that like so many other biopics, I felt this moment coming that I'm like, I don't want to fucking see this again, where he tries to borrow money from them and they're like, well, if you do this, we're gonna own your shit forever. And in my head I'm like, he's gonna lose his record, like, and which is insane because I know enough about the subject matter to know that it succeeded,
but
I'm like, I'm assuming there's gonna be some moment where it's like all his shit isn't his anymore and he's getting exploited. And it was just like, no, it just worked out. It's just they threw everything they had at it and it worked out, and it's just fun. It's just a ride
crazy,
the whole time.
And he like premieres in Indiana just
I mean he has these brief lows, like it comes back down just enough where you're like, oh no, they're not gonna get it done, but he's going to get it done. You know that. You know he's going to find a way.
Yeah.
And at every step, they're like, nah, you can't sell that. You can't make that. You can't premiere that, whatever. And you just get to watch them continually in a string, just prove everybody wrong.
Yep.
And then just like kind of ride off into the sunset. It's fucking great. You know,
I wonder in real life how he was perceived, because like, I remember I went to NACA once, and NACA, for people listening, it's like, there's two NACAs. There's one that helps you buy homes, and there's a National Association of College Activities or Campus Activities. And you go and you perform for colleges, and they book you at their schools. So one year I just fucking signed up, like no agent. I just signed up. I got like, you know, I got a showcase, and I'm just going to NACA. And then I got an agent on my way to NACA. But I remember like talking to some agents, and they were like, you can't just come to NACA as a fucking yourself.
You know what I mean? You have to have an You're like, unsanctioned human here. What is this?
Who are you? Right. What are you
who
doing?
Who do you belong to? What like, is I, this?
I was going to have my own booth, had a banner. And then like, then I ended up, I was like, I don't want to do all this work. But there was like amongst some of the agents, you just felt like they were like, fuck that guy for even thinking he could do that.
Threatening the system.
Mm-hmm. And I wonder because the reason I bring it up is, again, YouTube. I saw a video, this guy who, I think it was the writer. So the guy that...
that Keegan-Michael Key
plays.
Yeah,
he played.
Yeah.
He was all like, it's so ironic that Eddie plays him because Ed wouldn't, he couldn't get Eddie on the phone. Like he wanted to be in Eddie's movies. Hmm. And then so it's like, you're like, man, Ed, like, wow, right? But then you go to Colbert and Eddie Murphy's talking on Colbert and he's like, yeah, he's one of my heroes. I tried to make this movie 15 years ago when he was alive. He wasn't interested. And I'm sort of like taking these two stories that seem completely different and trying to merge them. And I think, oh, I get it. So maybe Ed liked you, but you were outside the scope of like
the sphere, right?
The fucking industry. So Ed couldn't bring you in, or, you know, maybe he was powerful enough to do it, but maybe it would have been harder for him to bring you in because you just were this separate entity. You kind of set up your own world, and you know, you made money without giving them some of the money, so yeah. Now they don't want to help you make more money.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's what it was, but it was really because this guy insists that Ed didn't fuck with Rudy Ray Moore because, you know, he was like an underground dirty comic, blah blah blah. But I'm like, well, Eddie's making this movie, so is he paying homage to him, homage, or is he like doubling down on fuck you, you know what I mean?
I'm gonna be better at being you.
Right.
No, I mean, it feels to me like there's a lot of reverence there.
I think so, right?
That's how it comes across. It definitely, it seems to me that Eddie Murphy admires what this guy was able to do, and also that like this probably set the table a bit.
Absolutely, because you know, he was so filthy.
Yeah, that yeah. For Ed, like Ed being be dirtier and yeah. being like accepted. Right. Because yeah. before, I mean, he was putting out shit that like, I mean, they were saying you literally cannot sell this. This is a crime in this many states.
Right.
Like Red Fox was kind of walking the line that they acknowledged that a little bit, but like.
It's like before True Life Crew, even like.
Yeah, but, and this is also like you're talking about like fucking. This is on the heels of like
this
Lenny
is
Bruce
pop the pussy. Right. Pre pop the pussy.
This is on the heels of like Lenny Bruce getting fucking arrested for saying what he wanted to on stage. Right. So it's like he's doing a really fucking dangerous thing, but he sensed, and I really enjoyed that part of the movie too, was that he saw that coming. He was like, this shit's changing. They're playing porn now. Like,
right.
Porn has awards and shit. He's like, let's make this look like something you're not supposed to have, and it'll sell. And it's
amazing.
Genius.
Yeah.
There's something too, for me, like, I mean, like, Eddie's one of the reasons I got into comedy.
Absolutely.
This motherfucker is doing the thing at the highest level comedy-wise, yes. But also, like, on a superficial, like, this motherfucker's cool.
Absolutely.
Like, that motherfucker, the way he looks and is doing
He's a fucking superstar.
I want to do it like that. So the fact that he is able to make a movie now at his age, and he is no longer playing, technically he's playing like the cool guy, like, oh, like now we know like Dolomite is the shit,
right?
But like I remember when I first saw this movie, I was like, this is Eddie's Donnie Brasco.
Yeah,
this is, we're so used to Al Pacino being the fucking head of the mafia, being like the most fucking hardcore gangster dude in the movie, and then in Donnie Brasco he is the bottom of the food chain.
Right.
Yeah. And he has to fucking work his way up to be somebody.
Yeah,
when he finally meets, you know, Mo Black, he's like, I just shit my pants. And I feel like this whole movie is Eddie's kind of like Donnie Brasco of like, all right, we're used to seeing Eddie at the fucking peak of his comedy career, or he's the funniest guy in the room. He's the guy who tells all the white people how it really fucking is.
Right.
But now he's playing this guy. And he's not the best looking guy in the room. He's got this fucking pudge. He is not the funniest guy in the room. He's the funniest to like his friends, but he needs to fucking convince. He needs to literally go into rooms and like pitch
and convince
people to get them on his side.
Right. He has to pay homeless people to tell him jokes.
Like, he has to go find fucking homeless people. Right. He has to go pay homeless people for material.
Crazy.
He's humble, know? Man. Yeah. This guy is... So I love what you're saying, because it's like Eddie doesn't usually play humble.
Not at all, dude.
This guy except maybe when he plays his own fucking brother in Bowfinger.
For sure. Absolutely.
In the movies where he plays some fucking dweeb, he plays the dweeb's alter ego, who's awesome. Nutty Professor.
Exactly.
Bowfinger. But this is so like... This guy has had a fucking rough run of it, and you can tell immediately. And he is so believable as the guy who will pick up that fucking box if it needs to be.
Yes.
And that's got to be a hard thing. Like what your friend was saying, Dwayne, like for Eddie Murphy to even do that,
right,
is like you got to turn off the Eddie Murphy enough.
Right.
And I do feel like he did that. Like my one worry about this movie was like, am I going to be looking at this dude the entire time saying that's Eddie Murphy?
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't.
No, agreed.
I lost myself enough in the way he played it that it was just like, this is this character.
Absolutely. I mean, he's naturally going to be more charismatic than maybe Rudy Ray Moore was. But he didn't get in the way of the movie. He didn't. It wasn't like distracting at all.
Yeah. You need to watch this movie and you need to understand, well, why did all these motherfuckers get on board with what he was saying?
Right.
This guy who was just yo, I got this idea. I want to see titties and kung fu in my movie. Yeah.
Right.
Do you know kung fu? Nope.
I'm going to learn.
You know, but you need it needs to be somebody with Eddie's charisma.
Right.
That makes you
and
go.
Like, none that's a great the, point.
Not for us, but for that world. Like, who could get all these people to do this?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It needs to be somebody that you watch and go, oh, okay, I get why.
Yeah, he could pull them together.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, all of those scenes were so fucking great.
Yeah.
And just, like, knowing... I mean, we work in the industry, and we know, like, the stories of people with egos. But just, like, knowing, you know, like, what we know of Eddie and what he does... In this movie, it's so like it. Like, I just watched the movie with such a goddamn smile on face of like, look at this motherfucker.
But it's
like
weird.
Taking it down a notch,
acting absolutely. Like he's not Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the greatest acting I've ever seen.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what elevates the performance.
Right, motherfucker,
you're turning it down,
but you know,
and that's making this even better.
Yeah,
but I think
and
that's
just
why
turning it on. Just exactly what he needs.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
A few moments here and there.
I went to this thing here in LA. It's called Beyond Fest, and it's like a couple. It happens like over X amount of days, and they premiere all these movies, and it's a movie festival that's like dedicated to genre. So I went on the night that they were having the premiere of Dolomite Is My Name.
Nice.
And so the screenwriters are there, Larry Karaszewski and Scott Alexander, and they're talking about like going into pitch meetings with Eddie, and like you know, before these pitch meetings, like, Eddie is just like, you know, according to them, is just like this real like kind of like quiet, reserved dude. And, you know, Eddie's excited that he's getting to work with, you know, potentially the motherfuckers who wrote Ed Wood.
Right.
Like, he loves the work that they've done. But he's keeping it at a very minimal level. But once he gets into the room and he needs to pitch it to the head of Netflix or to the head of like whatever studio might make this movie, he knows how to fucking turn that.
That's not even fair. He's like, hold on, I'm just gonna go in here and be Eddie Murphy for 10 minutes, and they're gonna buy whatever the fuck I want.
It's amazing though, yo. It's amazing.
Bullshit.
The scene in when he is working, you know, this very early on in the movie, the scene when he's like working at the record store. And like having the argument with Titus Burgess about like who's gonna handle the homeless guy. Who tells the Dolomite stories, that scene, and then the scene when he is wearing like the Dolomite suit and on stage for the first time, like going through the routine,
right,
and like when he first starts doing like that dance, his dance in that, which if you pay attention is like fucking offbeat to the music,
right.
Watching Eddie Murphy figure out his comedy act on stage as another character, like the fucking layers to that are so goddamn amazing to me.
It's crazy.
Like, I was laughing for so many different reasons.
Right.
Other than like, oh yeah, that's cool that he's wearing wearing a wig and has like a green suit.
I only laughed at the wig. but I'm an idiot.
You know, it's like that's like other level what is happening, you
know,
right there.
And I don't know Eddie, but I know people who know him. And
I have lunch with him on the road.
Yeah. From all accounts, though, he is a really cool dude. And so, like, even if he was a little bit of a dick, which I've never heard anyone say that, but given his talent and what he's done, he'd have a right to be a little bit of a dick.
Dude, he could be, you know, exactly what I mean? Who he plays in Bowfinger.
Right.
That actor. And I'd be like, yeah.
That's fine. I'm fine.
Right. He's earned that.
Yes, absolutely.
He has and also, that. Absolutely. There's sort of a, like you said, it works on levels because it's like one of the greatest comics of our time, finding his voice, right? But in real life, he's also helped a lot of people. Ed has helped like more people than people know. Like, meaning, I mean, his comedy tree.
It's like the Belichick coaching tree.
Yeah, it's exactly right. Yes. You got Keenan.
Except he doesn't take the credit.
You got Robert Townsend. Like, his tree is exactly ridiculous, and people don't even know because it's not like he, like you say, doesn't take credit. But yeah, he's definitely, well, Belichick is actually on
Parcells, right?
Parcells Street, yeah. Right. Which is crazy. I don't even want to. as a New Yorker, that's just pissed me off.
We can't even get into Parcells right now.
Right.
There's no time. We need to get into these games.
Yes, let's do it. Let's do it.
Okay. Let's squeeze a few of these in. Let's make a drinking game out of this movie. So every time something repetitive happens, you have to take a drink. I will start this one off, and we have touched on it a bit, but it's every time you have no idea what the fuck Wesley Snipes is doing. But you love it.
That's
you
great.
Love it. Like right in that first scene when you meet him, he starts just doing these weird affectations that you don't. You start to think like, all right, is this based on the real guy? Is he just being insane? But like, I fucking loved it. He was
just
so
on. Roman Polanski.
I love his ego.
I love that they're immediately like, yeah, it was a small role.
You were an elevator operator. Like.
The elevator, yeah. And then they cut to his eyes, and he's like, damn. Right?
He's so fucking funny. He's so like. I feel like he just did the most interesting thing he could think of in every moment. It was like, I'm just going to be
amazing.
So off the wall. I loved it.
He
Dwayne, what do you think, man?
Mine is like, there's a reason behind it, but I think every time as you're watching, you wish you could either jump into that time or bring those 70s styles back. Because they were styling, man. And
oh, fuck yeah, dude.
And this movie, you know, like...
So loud. Like you were everything saying, is so big and over the top.
Ricky, like
it.
You were saying, like, watching the like Eddie Murphy find his voice. For me, there was this other thing of, like, this is the 70s, and, like, there's dope fiends, but, like, there's no crack, right? And so it's almost like... If you could, like, watching a village before the fucking volcano erupts, and you're like, these motherfuckers don't even know what's about to happen. You know what I mean? And to me, it's like L.A. 70s, you know, it almost like you had Harlem, but I think L.A. was like, there was an energy, there was a vibe where, like, LA could become like the black capital of America, but you know, then, you know, then the 80s happens. Yeah.
Then, you know, well, there's no time to unwrap right. that one.
The club that Rudy Ray Moore works at in the movie, mm-hmm. it's not a dive bar. It's not a shitty ass club.
Right, right. Exactly.
It's actually like,
it's like the Cotton Club.
Yeah. See what the fuck I'm talking about? That's why I do this show. Exactly, bro. It's like a well fucking respected club, and everybody who shows up like looks good. Like there's just kind of like this certain respectability to this era that's not just, hey, it's the 70s and there's black people. They were all pimps.
Right.
Oh, it's the 70s and there's black people and they're all derivative of Superfly.
And that's a great moment in the movie too, right? Because when the guy goes, do you think this can cross over to white people? He's like, no. But to black people who don't buy cassettes out of trunks. Like,
there's
a black audience.
And it's a white person who says that line.
Right.
He's like, well, who's going to buy this shit? The motherfuckers who aren't buying that, man. Look, who the fuck do you think it is?
Right.
Come on, man. Like... That's a great moment.
That's a great
moment.
And
then when he goes to see T.I., who's like the head of like whatever studio, and T.I. is like,
dude, we didn't even talk about that. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
T.I. has that moment where he's like, oh no, like we're gonna make this. The next movie we got coming out is called Cornbread and Earl. And I remember that movie,
Cornbread Earl and Me.
Earl and Me, and it's about so and so getting out of the hood and doing something.
That?
Yeah. And then Eddie's like, brother,
nobody wants to see that.
I love
that's great, man.
Those moments were so fucking funny. Where he just like told them what was up.
Yes,
he did that a few different times in the movie, and it's like, don't nobody want to see that shit.
Exactly. Oh, because
so
he's like
on point.
It's just such a great way to be like, yo, that's cool and all,
right.
But there's also this other shit that's going on.
I'm gonna let you finish.
Exactly. Exactly.
But that movie is Lawrence Fishburne's first movie.
Cornbread Earl.
Yep.
Cornbread Earl and Me.
We'll do that next episode.
Yeah.
Ricky, what's your drinking game, man?
Oh, okay. All right. Let me look at my phone right here, right quick. All right. Every time, pretty much every time Dolomite has to convince like somebody to like rally the troops.
Dude, I kept thinking it was over, and it was like, how many times is this guy gonna have to be like, all right, well, I guess I'll fucking do it myself.
Right, he keeps making a shitload of money and people keep saying no. He's like,
just
guys,
keeps running into gatekeepers. Yeah. Like,
right. When him getting Keegan-Michael Key on board is one of my favorite scenes in the movie. Because Keegan-Michael Key is doing everything he can to like get out of the situation, and he just like turns it around on him right away. He's like, "Yo, man, you know, I'm more like in like a political type thing." That's right. It's the white man's fault.
Yeah, it's Whitey's fault.
It's Whitey's fault.
I mean,
fault.
He did the same thing with Wesley Snipes too, where he's like, "What if we let you direct it?" Because he's like looking down on them, like, "Well, this isn't how it works. You can't do this shit." And they immediately turn it where it's just like, "Oh yeah, I'll do that." Yeah.
Right. And even with Keegan, he says like, or something like, he alludes that you can't be funny. He's like, I can be comical or whatever it is.
Yeah. I'll be the funny.
Right.
Yeah. No, it's great. It's fantastic.
Let's see which one. Let's do. What's your favorite moment? All right, this is
damn.
It's tough to pare it down, but what is your favorite moment in this movie? And why? What do you think,
Jordan? Well, I'll be quick. We talked about it. It is that Cornbread Earl and Me line, because that did happen. And I love it when movies reference something that happened, that is going to happen. I just love that. So that did happen, and it was a pretty big movie. And I just love that whole thing. I love that they were trying to get out of the black exploitation thing. Because you're kind of like giving us a history without even harping on it too much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I love that moment. Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah. They also like, I think the movie did a good job of like, now we know what was happening back then. But at the time, like, these motherfuckers didn't know what blaxploitation was. They were just happy to be like making these movies.
Right, that's
like,
true, yeah.
We're just trying to like get these movies made. We know what we don't like, and we know what we're not being seen in. So let us get our fucking piece of the pie.
Right, exactly. You know?
By the way, was there... I mean, I might have to change mine right in this moment.
Please.
I was going to say, I do love when Eddie Murphy is initially trying to sell Snoop Dogg on playing his shit.
Right, and right.
It's the most... It's the most sales pitchy thing where he just keeps turning and shifting. Right, like, oh, right. No, this is the real heat. Yeah. I fucking love that. And you immediately, it sets you up for knowing like what Eddie Murphy is right, getting.
Right. And he
you're
just
like, I'm going to get these little glimpses of him
right.
being this funny character, but there's a real heart behind it.
And he just wants to play it in the record store, right? Am I bugging
it's a radio station broadcast the record store.
Yes.
But I was going to say, I might have to change it to when they all went to watch the best comedy.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Dude, their reaction.
It's like, great.
It was so fucking fun. And that was another one of like nobody wants to see that type moment. We're like, what the fuck did I just watch? And it was such another just hint at how fucking intuitive this guy was with like, there's something people want to see that isn't there. It isn't available. Let's make it available.
Exactly. And he's not, and his answer to that, it's not like he's saying like, you know, we need to see the story of Martin Luther King right now. That's right. What people want.
It's gonna be funny,
no,
man.
He wants to see titties, and he wants to see kung fu, and he wants that shit to be funny.
He wants to see it, so he knows
if he
lots
wants,
of other people want to see it.
Exactly.
Every city has those five blocks, whatever he said.
Oh, that's a great
dude,
line.
I fucking love that, yo. Yeah. That's fantastic.
And he was just so on top of how narrow their vision was at the time.
Yeah.
And it's not dissimilar from what we were talking about earlier about the industry catching up to how big Wu-Tang's audience is.
Yeah.
It's the same idea of like, nah, they're out there. Like, the audience is there. You just don't know them.
Exactly. Absolutely. Yeah, and
Tyler Perry showed them that, too. Cause
exactly.
They were like, what? Let me find out this guy's making a million. We ain't got none of it.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. And right. Because people think, oh, there's no audience for that. And
it's right,
like,
right.
Well, your life is very... lives here in L.A. are so narrow.
Absolutely.
And I feel like people are just now starting to realize there are all these other audiences out there to get material. Yeah,
the internet, you know? Is like the if you have a normal distribution, the tail goes on forever. And those are all people who, you know, because the more avid the fan, the less of them you need, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like 1,000 avid fans and you're set for life.
Yeah. Well, let's wrap this up quick. We got time for one more. Let's come up with a new Oscars category this movie should be nominated for. I would be very interested to see.
Okay.
If it gets nominated or anything.
I was thinking of the names. I like that one. I like that one too.
Which
that
one?
Might be. Your name.
Oh, you want to do that? Let's do that. All right. That's funnier.
Yeah.
Which one?
Come up with your own over the top Dolomite like character. What would your movie be called, and what would it be about?
Okay.
Let's power through.
Yeah, we'll
these.
Go fast. We'll go fast.
I'm going white villain, guys.
Nice. I hope that's the name of the movie.
I'm going white villain.
I know, right?
I'm just inserting myself into the Dolomite world. I think I could crush it. I'm called Dr. Paleface, and I'm stealing the melanin from all the city's black pimps. In order to darken my skin and take over the New York pimp game.
That's amazing.
It's diabolical.
It's like Get Out almost.
Right? What do you think, Dwayne? Who's your dude?
I'm Rocco Kennedy.
All right.
And I think the movie would be called something like The Game Is to Be Sold, Not Told. You know what I mean? And
that sounds like a log line.
I would basically rob drug dealers with a team of highly trained female operatives. I love that part of it. And use the money to build community centers and start a record label.
Ooh, I like that.
Living all of the dreams.
Right.
Ricky, close it out for us, man.
Well, the name of this movie is Action Fraction.
Nice.
He's a math teacher by day, Indiana Black Jones by night. And the tagline is, this ain't no numbers game, baby.
Oh, I love it.
Indiana Black Jones by night.
Indiana Black Belt Jones.
I thought you were saying fracking at first, and I was like, oh, that's great. He's gonna stop fracking.
But that's a sequel. That's a sequel. I don't wanna you know, this is Avatar, James Cameron, right. Lightstorm Entertainment. I'm reaching out to him.
Dude, this was fucking great, as always. Thank you for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me, usual, yo. Thanks for having me.
Tell everybody where to find you online, all that sort of stuff.
I mean, I'm on the Twitter at Ricky Carmona. I am on the Instagram at Ricky Carmona. That's all you need to know about me. That's it.
Check them
out. Oh, you know what? Oh, fuck with me. You know, man, what's the new website I've been fucking with? Because it is just very simple and straightforward, is Letterboxd. I believe it's letter, but the boxed is spelled B-O-X-D, and okay. It's just
you, cool.
Yeah, man. And you just post what movies you watch on there, and if you want to post a review, you can. That's
nice,
cool.
Nice.
But it is literally like that fucking streamlined and simple, and you can follow, like, I follow a lot of like film critics on there. But it's just kind of like movies to recommend and movies to review, and it's really fucking great. So you can find me on there. Fuck Twitter. Fuck Twitter.
That shit's over, guys. It's all about Letterboxd. That's what all the kids are doing, reviewing movies.
I have to pee so bad. All right.
Well, funny. DwayneParkins.com, website, DwayneParkins.com. On the gram, Dwayne Perkins. I'm not even going to tell you what I am on Twitter. And holla at your boy.
At TK Kelly Comedy on all social media. Follow us at Movie Nightcast on all social media, too. Keep giving us your feedback. Let us know what movies you want to hear us talk about, what guests you'd like to hear us talk to. Ricky, thanks again, buddy. Don't pee your pants in my garage.
I'm going in the corner.
That does it for this week, guys. Tune in next week.
You've been listening to Movie Night with Dwayne Perkins and TK Kelly. Be sure to like them on Facebook. Just search for Movie Night Podcast Show. And follow them on Twitter. Just search for @MovieNightCast.